we can applaud.
Or throw things.
Or throw things.
No, not a big hymn books, but haven't recovered since the last time. A little red name to let it out.
Thank you.
Good morning, and welcome to our Lord's Day service. We hope the service is a blessing to you. If you're in town this Wednesday, we'll be holding our last Vesper service of the summer at 7:30. If it rains, we'll push it back to Thursday at 7:30. Join us as we welcome Mother Barbara Sina, who's a retired Episcopal priest, soloist Cindy Steele, and accompanist Colin Welford. Want to welcome the Carrie Ellis and Raymond family. Vivian is the fifth generation in her family to be baptized here. She's wearing the baptismal gown made in 1907 for Melinda Knutson. The gown was made by a family friend, Melinda Bulkley, for whom she was named. Vivian joins a long procession of strong, faithful women, including her grandmother, Marcia Ellis, who will be singing in today's service, and her great-grandmother, Linda Carey, who is our lay reader this morning. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Be in your senses, marked with sacred sign. In the incarnation, flesh became divine. Christ be in your hearing, too new to rejoice. In each shout or whisper, hear be in your vision, guard you day and night, keep your feet from stumbling, shine God's holy light. Christ be in your speaking, train your every word, in your daily witness, let truth be heard. Christ be in your breathing, constantly impart grace to every movement, peace within your heart. Christ be in your senses, marked with sacred signs. In the Spirit's presence, flesh becomes divine. In the Spirit's presence, flesh becomes divine. Our
call to worship is found in Psalm 34, verses 1 through 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all of my fears. Look to him and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried and was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who reverence him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who take refuge in him. In preparation for the baptism, please join us in singing "An Infant We Present to Thee."
gospel that our Lord Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." Our Lord Jesus Christ instituted baptism as the visible means of entry into the new covenant. Baptism is a gift of God. In this sacrament, through grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are united with Christ, are cleansed by his saving work, and enter into the fellowship of the church. Our children share with us in the benefits of our Lord's redeeming work through the faith of parents and of the church. For the promise is to us and our children. Sincerely believing that our Lord Jesus Christ loves Vivian, that he is ready to receive her and to give her the blessing of eternal life, let us pray. O Father of all, we praise you for the joy and blessing that children bring into the home and into the world. Grant that Katie and Zachary may find blessing in their ministry of love. Heavenly Father, hear us. O friend of little children, keep, guard, and bless Vivian. By the guidance of your Spirit, may she grow in strength and in beauty of character. Jesus, Savior, hear us. Katie and Zachary, do you now promise to lead Vivian through your prayer, instruction, and example toward that time when she can, by grace, confirm her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ?
We do.
Ephraim Moravian Church, do you welcome Vivian into the fellowship of this congregation?
We do.
You who are baptized into Christ Jesus, how were you baptized?
Into his death.
Vivian Lee Raymond, into the death of Jesus, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you put your hands over. Now, through God's grace and pouring out of the Holy Spirit, you have been brought into the covenant. Therefore, live, yet not you alone, but Christ live in you. And the life which you live now, live by faith in the Son of God, who loved you and gave his life for you. Vivian, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Jesus.
We come to that time of worship where we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports. For our joys, we're so delighted that Agnes Rose Larson came safely into the world, joining her parents, Brittany, Ray, and Mike, and her three big brothers, Keel, Freddie, and Argo. We're also rejoicing with Don and Donna Nelson as they celebrate tomorrow 63 years of wedded bliss. As I told Don, you're a lucky man. For our concerns, we want to lift up a friend of my family, a former parishioner of mine from Trinity, Don, who's had a stroke. And we ask for prayers for Don and his wife, Janet. We want to continue to remember in our prayers the family of Jerry Shomo, the folks out west who are dealing with wildfires, and those who continue to be on our prayer list, Karen, Kathy, Doug, Kevin, Ray, Barbara, Dean, Chris, and daughter Erin. And we also want to add Kana to our prayer list. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful that we could be here today, so grateful to witness new life. We're so grateful for the joy that Vivian has brought into her family. And we ask that she would grow to know you as Lord and Savior and bless and beautify everything that she touches. We're so grateful for the birth of Agnes Rose, and we ask that you would bring to her your grace and your beauty. We're so grateful that Don and Donna are celebrating another year of wedding bliss, and we thank you for their lives and their witness. We ask that you would be with Don and Janet as they go through this difficult time, that you would grant to them your grace and your strength, that Jerry Shomo's family might know that underneath them are the everlasting arms. We ask that you would be with all of those who are in harm's way in California and other places that are experiencing wildfires, that you would be with those on the front lines who are battling the blazes, that you would grant to them your strength. We lift up before you those who are ill, those who are recovering, for Kana and Karen, Kathy, Doug, Kevin, Ray, Barbara, Dean, Chris, and Erin, that they might know that the divine physician holds them close. We ask all of these things through the mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our scripture reading today is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing rather than let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our reflection is written by Barbara Axelson, entitled, A Way to Imitate God. Jesus loved and loves the little children. We learn that early, and we must remember it. As the sacrament of baptism recognizes a soul's relationship with God, the church as a whole is a participant. When we answer the question of the congregation as to whether we welcome a newly baptized person into the fellowship, it is not merely a rote response. All new believers, all little children, are strongly connected to the fellowship, and it is every person's responsibility to treat such persons with love and care. Paul tells us to give grace to those who hear us, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, and thereby become imitators of God. Look in the mirror and ask yourself if you are imitating God. The answer may enlighten you to do things you had long forgotten or glossed over. The answer may be sobering, or it might just be that you are doing your best and are now encouraged to keep on keeping on. Whichever is the case, be assured that Christ loved us, all of us, and gave himself up for us. That is a worthy goal, and each and every baptism we witness reminds us that we are part of an army of God's people. March on. Amen.
You purpose, Lord, for me.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable to you, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Context is very important. Backstories are really important. For example, I'm not much of an athlete. I'm not much of an Olympic follower, but I was quite taken with a young lady from Wisconsin named Molly. And I saw her running, and I was quite impressed at how she was doing in this marathon. But it was even more special when I heard the backstory. This young lady had only run in two other marathons before she tried out for the Olympics. Talk about gutsy. She was never expected to do any kind of placing. They thought maybe she'd finish the race. It was beastly hot in Japan, and yet she won a bronze medal. The backstory, the context is very important. And when you think of that marvelous call to worship we heard today, the backstory is really important. You wonder what the context of that beautiful passage is. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Was it a psalm of David when he was looking back at his life saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the ways you helped me. Was it a time when perhaps one of his children was born and he was grateful like we are today? What was the context? If you thought it was a reflection of praise, if you thought it was a reflection of all the good things God had done, you would be wrong. We know the context of this particular psalm because right before the psalm, there's a heading, and this is the heading. Psalm 34 of David, when he feigned madness before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. Well, it's a fascinating story. David was on the run. He was a great warrior by this time. There were songs sung about him. But the king for whom he battled was insanely jealous of him. And so he sent an army to chase him. And David, as he was running, went to the enemy camp. That was the only place that was safe. He went to the Philistines. And I guess he ingratiated himself to the king until some servants figured out who he was. Now, there was no social media in those days. There was no television. But I guess word of mouth had gotten to the Philistines. And they said to this king, is this not David? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. David took these words to heart, and he was very much afraid. So he changed his behavior before them. He pretended to be mad when in their presence. He scratched marks on the doors of the gates and let spit run down his beard. The king said to his servants, look, you see this man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? In other words, I'm surrounded by crazy people. I don't need one more. And so he dismissed it. Get him out of my sight. And in that context of humiliation, of abject humiliation by this great warrior, he writes, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble, and I'll put down here the humiliated, hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. In verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. How do you deal with life's humiliations? How do you deal when you're fired from a job? How do you deal with it when family turns against you? How do you deal with all the daily humiliations? What David understood was that his life was not wrapped up in circumstances, that his life was not his own and his own ego needs, but his life was wrapped up in Almighty God. And he understood that even though he was humiliated and had spit running down his beard, that God did not view him that way, that he was God's beloved. And this is what we want to teach our children. That's what resilience is all about. When they're little, we take care of every contingency. We take care of when they stumble and fall. We take care of the hurts that they have. But when they get older and they move away, we have no control over that. And so we need to teach them that they are God's beloved. And that when our ego needs, when our pride, when all that we have is wrapped up in the beloved of God, then we can face anything, just as David did. Now, there's not only a backstory to this psalm, there's also the resolution of this psalm. Because you see, after this humiliating experience, the Bible says that David left and he escaped to the cave of Adullam, which is a cave of refuge. And when his brothers and all his father's house heard of it, they went down there to him. Everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him, and he became captain over them, about 400 people. So he gathered together a ragtag army, people that probably heard of his humiliation and realized that this man would understand them. Whenever we hear about this army after this, they don't call it the David's ragtag army. They call them mighty men of valor. One man's humiliation turned into a great army. Why? Because his life was wrapped up in God. May it be the said of us that when life knocks us down, when we have to lick our wounds and our pride is wounded, that we will rise up and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I am God's beloved child. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Sounds familiar? Well done, Marcia.
Thank you so much.
Linda, it's wonderful. I mean, you read amazing.
Thank you so much. Very fun to hang out.
We've got a contract ready for you. About a 25-year contract.
Yes.
That's phenomenal. Oh, my gosh. I want to see a motion for your hands. It's so fast. That's amazing.
Chuck's a doctor. He can help you.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I might need it.